Good morning and welcome to Chapel. It's my privilege to introduce our speaker today, Kendall Lyons, who I have worked with for a couple of years now and who I count as a very close friend of mine. I'll give you the boilerplate information for him and then a little bit more after that. So Kendall serves as the Director of African American Relations here at Criswell. Before that, he was our Director of Communications. Before coming to Criswell, he served as a writer and editor for the Terrell Tribune and managing editor of the Quinlan Tawakoni News. I think I said that correctly. Tawakoni, sorry. His professional background extends from work involving writing and publishing books, which I believe you can find on Amazon if you're interested, drawing comics, which are also available online, and journalism. He graduated with his bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism, mass communications from Oklahoma Christian University, and a Master of Arts in Christian Ministry from Dallas Baptist University. Educational experiences that pale in comparison, I'm sure, to the classes that he's taken here at Criswell. He began preaching in 2005 and currently serves as the Associate Minister at Beth Eden Baptist Church in Dallas. And he's been married for 4 years to his wife, Rachel. And together they enjoy traveling, writing, and creating art. Or at least that's what the kids call it these days. More importantly, he's going to be preaching from Colossians chapter 3 today. And if you're familiar with that letter, you know that one of the major themes is reconciliation. And I can't think of anybody better suited within this community, this Criswell community, to speak on that subject. If you've had the privilege of working with him or just even interacting with him for a matter of minutes, you know the kind of spirit of peacemaking that he brings to everything that he does. And very importantly, though, Kendall recognizes, that being a peacemaker does not mean saying what other people want you to say. It means saying the truth, telling the truth. And peacemaking doesn't just mean being what other people want you to be, but being what God has called you to be. And so, like I said, I can't think of anybody better to talk about and bring a word from God from the book of Colossians today. So Kendall, if you'll please come up, please join me in welcoming Kendall Lyons.
God bless you. Let the people of God say amen. 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 First, God bless you. First, giving all praises to my Heavenly Father, honor to the President Dr. Barry Creamer in his absence, to my friend and brother as well, Chief of Staff Winston Hopman, my friend and brother. God bless you. I love when we have a chance to talk and connect. I get to learn so much from him and from others here on staff, as well as those who are students here. So it is just good to be here this morning. And I thank you for having me, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly, and I won't hold you long. I'm going to ask also that you would pray with me and pray for me. There is a word from the Lord for the people of the Lord, and I'm just going to ask that if you pray with me, pray for me, we'll have a good time in this word. Amen? So first, let's pray, and then let's jump right into the text. Lord, this is your time, this is your moment, this is your word, this is your people, and I'm your servant. Lord, these that came not to hear me, but to hear thee, not to see me, but to see thee, speak a word even now that'll change, challenge, and convict the hearts and minds of your people. And then after it's said and done, that it outpours into our classrooms and into our communities and amongst our friends and our gathering places, and that somebody asks, what must I do to be saved? But then also some people ask, oh wow, is this the Jesus Christ that I've been hearing about in a world that so desperately needs him? In your name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we ask it all, amen. I'll be reading from, as I've been asked and tasked, to preach Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. So if you'll journey with me there, if you have your paper Bible or if you have your digital device, that is perfectly fine. If you're using Apple, great. If you're using Android, I won't hold it against you. A little joke there. You know, you can laugh. Don't worry. You can laugh. It's okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Here's what the word says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God, or Christ in some renderings of some translations, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to talk today about bearing with one another. If I was at Beth Eden Baptist Church, I might would have even tagged this text. Will you help me carry this load? Will you help me carry this load? If there was ever a time that the world desperately needed to see and experience the attitudes and attributes of the true Christian believer lived out in real time, that time is now. We live in a culture where if we're not careful, we could find ourselves falling into the same situation that the church here in Colossians was facing. Yes, we could find ourselves forgetting who we are and whose we are. We could find ourselves getting caught up in practices and traditions and busy religious exercises that could be void of the redemptive message of the cross. We could find ourselves being allured by the philosophical messaging of the promises of a special or deeper knowledge or gnosis. We could get caught up in the worship of that or those who are not the mediator between us and God. We could find ourselves pulled in and tempted by practicing exclusivity and special privilege and perfection of those select few who belong to the philosophical elites of our day. These were just some of the things that Paul was writing and addressing to the church in Colossae. He's writing from prison in Rome, and Paul is writing to this church addressing this issue, this heresy that was going on steeped in Gnosticism. And I'm here to tell you that the situation that's happening in Colossians is really no different than the things that are happening in our day today. If you don't mind, if you would open your hearts and your minds and your eyes and your ears to the realities of that our culture right now, we are facing some things that are happening in real time. Just earlier this morning, watching the news, witnessing historically black colleges and universities having to postpone classes or even shut down for days at a time because of attacks. I'm witnessing the things that are happening in our news, on our social media. You're watching it just like I'm watching it. But the good news is that regardless of what's happening in the culture, we do know one, that is Jesus Christ. Can I talk to you? Because we're all really family. For those of you who are in Christ, if you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, I want you to know this is your cousin telling you that we have a situation happening in the culture, and I just want to address some things like family. Can family address it real quick? Can I talk to you like we're family for a minute? You can go ahead and shout back at me and say yes, sir, if you want to. But I just want to talk to you like family and let you know that we have some things in the culture that are trying to challenge what we believe and challenge what we know. There's some things in the culture that are trying to get us to have our select few and just think of ourselves as us four and no more. We have what's happening in the culture where right now there are people who are more interested in storming things like capitals instead of kneeling at the feet of Jesus and hastening to the throne. There are people that are interested in separating than rather coming together. But I have some good news for you that our Savior, King Jesus, he hung, bled, and died. Blood spilling down, crown of thorns on his head, and in 3 days he got up from the grave with all power in his hands. And because of that, you and I can face tomorrow, and you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. And because we're family, the good news about what Jesus did, you have to understand in that 12th verse, what therefore is therefore. Paul tells them over there in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You do realize that Jesus settled it all on the cross and eliminated the distinctions. That doesn't mean that my life, that my identity as a black man in America doesn't matter. It just means that it neither serves as an entryway or a ticket nor a hindrance for me to be able to get to Jesus Christ. The same can be said to you. Let me put it to you like this. It doesn't matter whether you're from Highland Hills in South Dallas or Highland Park in North Dallas. It doesn't matter what your zip code is. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter how you got to Jesus. The point is that you got to him. Am I right about it? So we understand Paul is writing, and he's writing to the church, and he's addressing these heresies, these struggles that are happening in the culture, the things that are taking place. And I'm here to tell you that we must be careful not to get ourselves wrapped up in our own philosophical, ideological, political, socioeconomic stances. We must be careful not to get ourselves wrapped up in all of that, but instead get wrapped up in Christ's love. We must get wrapped up in the reality of that you and I have an opportunity to bear one another's burdens. When I was preparing this text, I was reminded about my own story. My own story of being someone who self-hated themselves. The story of being bullied, and not just by my white brothers and sisters in Christ. I got along with them quite well growing up as a kid. It was by some of those in my own community. And fast forward, because the Lord then dealt with me on that. Here I was in ministry, here I was preaching and talking about Jesus, but then God stopped me in my tracks and said, "Now, Kendall, you can't say you love God and hate your brother." And so he was dealing with all of that and unpacking some of the old thoughts and some of the old things that I thought and some of the old things that I believed, and started putting the word of God in me. And he was also letting me know that in order for me to put on some of the things that are coming from the Lord, there's some things I got to take off. See, if you're going to walk this walk, there's some things that you need to get rid of, remove from your life if you're going to bear one another's burdens. In other words, to bear literally means there in the text, it means that you will patiently deal with one another, enduring the very possibility of that there will be difficulty. So you and I, and here's the thing. I know that we have a culture that says, well, you know what? It's really not my issue to bear. You know what? My sins, Jesus bared mine, but they weren't his. The least I could do, because of all that Jesus did for me, is to bear the burdens with you, and you do the same for me. Amen?
Yeah, I know sometimes we live in a culture that says, oh, well, no, it's not mine. I have nothing to do with it. It's not my thing. No, I'm asking you, I'm imploring you as brothers and sisters in Christ that we show the world that we bear one another's burdens and that they'll know us by our love. As we're bearing one another's burdens, yes, I know that it's not your burden. Yes, I know you're not responsible for some of the things that are happening in the news and on social media, but I'm encouraging you that Jesus is too real to me for me to sit here and be silent about the things in this culture and the things in the world and to stop preaching this word and living it. This is an opportunity for us to bear one another's burdens. And here in the text, Paul shows us how we can bear them. So if you don't mind, I'll take my time and then I'll go to my seat. But the thing is that there's some things we gotta put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying. The Lord had me stop right there and say, you know what? There's so many people that want so bad to just go along just to get along. But I'm imploring for you, I'm asking you to be bold and be honest and be real. Jesus is real with us. God is real with us. Let's be real with the people that we really love. If we really love people and we really love one another, and this is really family, that we are honest with each other. And that there's a way to do it, right? There's a way to talk to family. There's a way to talk to each other. There's a way to engage. There's a way to have conversation. And then also that we understand that we don't get so wrapped up in everything around us that's happening in the culture that has nothing to do with Jesus at all. But that we get wrapped up in talking about and connecting together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, sure, we can have really good debates about what's happening in the culture. I'm kind of a political science type of guy. I like to talk about what's happening in the culture and happening in current events. And we could have those conversations with a nice cup of coffee and a really awesome lemon poppy seed muffin from the coffee shop. We can have those conversations. But at the end of the day, regardless of where you're from or what your situation is or what your stance is or how you started, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love you, and I hope you love me back, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So here's my point. I have 3 points, and then we can finally wrap up here. The first point is that we have the attributes of the believer. We must know who we are in Christ. I got really excited as I was studying this text because I had to stop right there at verse 12. And I got really excited. I mean, shouting and crying excited because I was looking at this and I was like, oh, wow, I need to let Criswell College know that therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And then the Lord said, I need you to slow down and I want you to talk about that elect and holy and beloved. My brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. That word elect means chosen. I want you to know that you have been chosen. I know that you probably have been through some things like I have where you felt like you were not chosen. You felt left out. You felt like you were singled out to be left out. But I want to let you know that the world may not choose you. The people who were popular may not choose you. People who are in high places may not choose you, but I serve a God and I'm a living witness in serving the Lord that he'll open doors that you don't even have to touch. He'll close doors that need to be slammed shut and kept shut. God is able to do it. So I want to let you know that you've been chosen, you've been elect, but not only that, you're holy. That means that you're separated for him. You're separated to be with God, not to be caked up and cooked up with the culture. But then not only that, you also are beloved. You all, the Lord loves you so much. How do we know he does? Romans 5 and 8 says it like this, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You all, I have to let that sink in. And every day I still have to let it sink in because sometimes you just feel not loved or lovable because of everything that's going on. Can I be real with you since we're family? That like even when things like Black Lives Matter was unfolding, that the Lord was showing me, you know, Kendall, your life didn't matter when they started marching on the streets. Your life mattered over 2,000 years when I died for you on Calvary and shed my blood for your sins. I had to shout right there because I was like, really, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. I'm not wrapped up in self. And then, Lord, whenever I do get wrapped up in self, Lord, I humble myself so that way and move out the way so that way I can see how much you love me. And since he loves me, that is why I'm passionate about loving somebody else and letting them know that, you know what? He loved you so much. John 3:16, you all know it. I sure hope you know it. That he said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? We are to put on, literally clothe ourselves here. We ought to clothe ourselves with what? With tender mercies. That means tender sympathy, heartfelt compassion. Couldn't we use some more compassion in the culture these days? One of the things that the Lord has blessed me with over the years is years in journalism and years in the newsroom and hearing different people's stories. And that's why I can sit with a person that says they're Republican, or sit with a person that says that they're Democrat, or sit with a person that says that they're independent. And then I can have even more conversations with them and find out about their lives and find out about how they get there. And then before you know it, somewhere between all of that conversing, we get into the topic about Jesus, and the Lord just blesses that conversation. And you set the tone, and you're in that mode, and the tone is being set where you get a chance to share. And you get a chance to share something that surpasses our political, our sociological, our psychological places and circumstances in our life. That's what I'm challenging you all to do. And it's hard. Let's not get it twisted. It's hard, and sometimes we get wrapped up because there's some things and there's some truth and there are some realities and situations that we're seeing happen in the world, and it's complicated and it's crazy out there, and some of us get so wrapped up and afraid and upset and frustrated, and it seems like it's not getting better, it's only getting worse, and it'll probably only get worse. But I have good news for you, is that at least we have Jesus. But there's a whole world out there right now that is waiting on legislation. But what they really need is salvation. Am I right about amen? Amen. I want to make sure y'all are out there. But then also, we only have tender mercies, but then we have kindness. Let's be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. To provide something beneficial for someone as an act of kindness. So this is a benevolent kind of kindness. I should be able to offer something good for you on today. If it ain't but a handshake or a hug, I ought to be able to offer something good for you. And in fact, especially as a brother or sister in Christ, I ought to be able to offer a word from the Lord for you, a scripture, a prayer, or even just to be there to hear your voice, to hear your story. Even if I don't necessarily know if the story is something that I can necessarily relate to. But that's part of what bearing is all about. It's not so much me trying to get you to think what I think or me think what you think. It's about us carrying this load together of the importance of sharing the gospel, the stress of living in this world as Christians, of loving one another in our times of crisis and times of need. So, also, there's humility. Oh, man. My wife is always talking to me about this. But then there's this humility piece, and we all have to humble ourselves. God said he'll resist the proud but give grace to the humble. I need his grace. So we have to humble ourselves, and we have to understand that, you know what? There needs to be a way for me to connect with you, but and for me to be able to understand what you're going through. I need to humble myself. We have to humble ourselves because we don't have all the answers, but we do know that the Word of God provides answers for us to be able to do this, to walk this walk, to do the life of a Christian believer. But then there's meekness, gentleness of attitude, and then there's long-suffering, the state of emotional calm. In other words, we're not fussing and irritated over the fact of that we have to bear one another's burdens, literally put up with some things. You know, as families, sometimes family drive each other crazy. Can we be honest and be real? Sometimes family gets on your nerve, right? But here's the good news. That if we're humble and we're meek and we're long-suffering, that regardless of what my situation is, regardless of what your situation is, regardless of how long I have to endure with you, for however long it takes in order for you to see Jesus work in it, for however long it takes for Jesus to be show up and show out in your life, it's not about me. If anyone has a complaint, isn't it interesting that in that text in verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, are you telling me that we're going to drive each other crazy from time to time and we're going to have a complaint? In other words, a complaint would assume that I have a reason to blame you for something, that I have a reason to put you at fault over something. And it's easy to get into that place when you look at media and you look at everything else in the world and in the culture around us, right? But then we're told that we forgive as Christ forgave us. That's the life we ought to live. But then we have the attitude of believer, of a believer. So not only the attributes, we have the attitude of the believer where we put on love. And we put on love above all these virtues here. 1 Peter 4:8 says it like this, that, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. We have this, and it's a, which is a bond of perfection in verse 14. But that bond of perfection, it literally means that it holds us together in perfect unity. You all, again, I'm not waiting on laws and legislations to put us together in unity. Jesus does that. Amen. Jesus holds us together. And that is what the highlight, that's what the focus should be. Jesus should be preeminent in our lives because he is. And the fact of the matter is that we understand that in bearing with one another, we also forgive one another. We forgive each other graciously and freely, and we understand that we also have this love together. But then also he tells us, for those of us who are panicking and worrying in this culture that we're living in, that we let the peace of God, or we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. In other words, you allow it, you give it room, you allow it to saturate, to rule, take over, govern in your heart. That peace, can I talk to you a little bit about peace? Because you can buy a Sleep Number bed, but that'll just maybe give you some sleep, but it won't give you peace. You have a whole lot of money in your bank account, that may make you joyful and happy, but it won't give you peace. I'm talking about that peace that comes from the Lord. This is that God-given tranquility peace. This is the peace that said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do this interim. I had a chance to serve as an interim, one of the many opportunities to be able to do things here at Criswell. Dr. Waddell, one day, he asked me to come and serve as an interim at Fairview Baptist Church. I'd never been to this church before. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. In fact, I wasn't sure what to expect, but there was a peace over me that could only come from Jesus. Didn't know anybody in Wise County. I've never even been to Wise County, passed through it, but I've never been. I've never been to New Fairview. I didn't even know what New Fairview was. I had to Google it, could barely even find a church. I did not know. But there was a peace. Ah, yes, there was a peace. This peace that surpasses all understanding. It'll guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This is a peace that the world cannot give. So also we're told to be thankful. Isn't there anybody in the house that's also thankful? You're thankful for what God did, has done, and is doing in your life. Thankful to Jesus. You have that attitude of gratitude that helps hold this all together. I'm so glad, because I'm glad that the Lord blesses me with what he blesses me. And right now I'm about, you know what? I'm gonna let the Lord bless me with what he blesses me. And I want the Lord to bless you all the way the Lord blesses you. I want you to have what the Lord has for you, and I know the Lord has for me what he has for me. Amen. I'm grateful and thankful. As we would say it at Beth Eden Baptist Church, if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done more than enough. But then also, We let the word of Christ dwell in us. Listen, we're going to go through an awful lot. We're going to deal with various situations, various challenges, various circumstances in our life. And you need to speak some word on some of that stuff. I mean, when you're going through and you're feeling fearful, you should throw out there 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You ought to speak word into your situation. Speak word into your life. Not some word that comes from Instagram, not something from a news channel, not something from a commentator, not something from a philosopher of the day, not something from somewhere else. You need to just say, Lord, not my will, but yours. You need to say, you know what? Jesus already, God, he already told me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. You ought to just trust and believe that what he said in his word is still real today. Oh, yes, so we let the word dwell in us. But then my third point is that we have the action of the believer. So what is the action of the believer? What's the point that I'm making here? Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Listen, literally, whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever you are, whatever work that you do it for the glory of God. For God's glory. Before I graduated from Oklahoma Christian University, one of our journalism professors said it like this. When we were about to leave and everything, and he told the class that the next time I see you and you're working and you're off in your career, what I don't want to know is what market you're in and or how much money you make or just what your role is. Or where you're at, or how big your family is, or how big your house is, or any of that. I don't want to know any of that other stuff. I want to know, is Jesus still Lord of your life? And are you giving him the glory? My encouragement for all of you, let's bear one another's burdens. Let's carry the load together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Regardless of where we came from, what our stories are, the good news is that at the end of the day, all glory be to our King. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Kendall, for being with us this morning in chapel.
If you saw me on my cell phone, I apologize. When you said the thing about how our families can annoy us, I was texting the group thread to say, the Lord has spoken, y'all. What can I say?
But you got to forgive them. If they bug you, don't forgive them. Hang in there.
So I know we talked earlier, and we were talking about, you know, just what would the Q&A look like, and I know you really wanted to dig into the Greek. I'm just messing with you.
We could, but I've been sorely disappointed.
So talk to me about the, I'm just kidding. I'm curious for you, as you're just being able to connect and share with some of the students who maybe have not met you before. We have some pieces of your kind of background. Winston gave a bio, some journalism stuff, and you talked a little bit about that. But can you give us just kind of the short version of the journey of how the Lord brought you to Criswell and your time here?
So it's so interesting. I'll start with my first class here. After I'd graduated with my undergrad from Oklahoma Christian University, My pastor, Pastor Dr. C.O. Preston over at Beth Eden, he recommended, Kendall, you need to go take some classes, man. You know, if you're going to do ministry, go ahead and get prepared. Go ahead and take some classes. Take some classes at my alma mater here. And so I thought, and this was in 2008, 2009. I took two classes here. One of them was Introduction to Jewish Studies, and another one was Critical Thinking. And my boss today was my professor then, Dr. Creamer. And I only took two classes here, but then, you know, fast forward, I'm preaching at some different events. Then my wife says, hey, you know, you ought to try considering taking some additional classes, even though you got your master's, nothing wrong with sprucing up. And I said, oh, why not? I'll do that. I was working at the newspaper, but I looked at the Criswell.edu website, right? And I was looking through the classes and looking through what was available, but then that's when I looked at the employment section. And then in the employment section, it said Director of Communications. And at first, and you all, of course, this is why y'all have to pray for me, because the Lord is still working on me, getting certain things like skepticism and pessimism out of my system. So I'm like, okay, yeah, right, Lord, I bet I won't get this role, but I'm gonna apply to it anyway. A few days later, Daisy Reynolds calls me in for an interview, and then not long after that, I start here in 2019.
And that was that.
And that was that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Do we have any questions from out here? I know somebody's running with a microphone somewhere around. Where's Lane? I know Lane always has a question.
Cool.
So yes, I'm Lane. And so I've really been impacted by this as well. What advice would you give us in realizing that in order to put on Christ, we have to put off these other things? This obscene talk from our mouth, slander, things like that. How do you do that? How do you change your heart?
Ooh, you know what? That is
a very easy question. Yeah. No big deal.
You know what? That is a great question, and it is one that It's one that could be answered just like this, that we trust Jesus with changing our hearts, and we at the same time continue to seek him. We know that the Bible says that, you know, rejoice yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I'm grateful that it says first, rejoice also in the Lord, because there were some things that I'm glad that the Lord did not give me that was in my heart. But the Lord will do that changing as you, one, make sure that you are constantly connecting, constantly communing with Jesus, that you're constantly in the Word of God, that Word, that dwelling in the Word, that means that we're just living in it, that we reside in it, that we sit in it, dwell in it, swim in it, that we find ourselves so closely tied to Jesus that it just doesn't make any sense not to behave like him. And that'll come over time. And we're still being renewed each day. We're still constantly in this walk having to learn, because we're going to make mistakes. But whenever I do make mistakes, I'm grateful for the people that I do drive crazy, that they forgive me as Christ forgave you. I hope that answered your question. Did it help? Bless you. God bless you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I got to get that clear. So I'm in biblical studies, so this is more of a question for the PPE students, psychology and ed major students, because for a biblical studies guy and for other Christian ministry people too, like you were saying, we shouldn't be caught up with the philosophical ideologies of the world or any of the kind of just things that probably aren't more centered around Christ. I guess my question is for a guy like me and for my other brothers and sisters who are in non-biblical or Christian ministry studies, because it's easy for us to say, we're like, oh, we're surrounded with Christ all day. We just get to study the text, literally biblical studies, study the biblical, you know, text. But I do want to do a master's of philosophy, and we already have students here who are doing other classes other than biblical studies and Christian ministry. So what's your advice for, yes, being filled with Christ always, but on the other hand, these are cultural issues we have to deal with, because the unbeliever, the pagan's not going to come up to me and talk to me about Mark or John. They're going to come up and talk to me about, you know, Marxism, or they're going to talk to me about capitalism, stuff that doesn't really pertain to Christ. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
What would be your advice to making those connections and also staying a Christian, if you will, while getting into those areas of study?
That's an excellent question. And that's something that I know that when I first started in journalism, I kept asking the Lord, how do I behave in this newsroom? How do I behave around all of these different people that I connect with and talk to? And I'm working in a secular environment, right? And you're asking, okay, so Lord, how do I survive in a secular environment, or even how do I survive doing secular work and still holding true to the faith? And I think that answer could be found in the question, that we hold true to God's word, but at the same time that we're making sure that as we make Jesus the center of our life and of and make him a priority in our daily life, you know, through prayer, through the devotional time, through Bible study, through connecting with other like-minded believers, that it also would help us and behoove us that we make sure to also make sure that we know about what's happening in the culture and that we're understanding some of the things that are taking place as best as we possibly can. And that we're making sure that we're studied and that we're learned in the field and area of study. Because if the Lord purposed for you to be in that place, he purposed that you for to be in that place to be a light for people out there who's dealing with a number of issues, a number of questions. And what a great opportunity to be able to compare and contrast the things that are out there, like Marxism, the things that are out there, like Darwinism, and to say, but here's what the gospel says as it relates to those things as you compare and contrast them. My pastor and other preachers have always told me, you know, Revan, you need to make sure you're reading, you know, all kinds of stuff from news to different books. Hear what different things and different arguments are being shared in the culture. That way, we know how to, as believers, best answer and respond to them. And sometimes we may not be able to answer and respond to every single thing. But being part of that conversation is pretty key. And I think that that's part of how you stay in this walk while doing the work you do.
You guys thank Kendall with me for being here this morning. I'm going to pray for you and then we'll worship and head out. So, Lord, thank you for Kendall. Thank you for his vulnerability. Thank you for his willingness to get up and share your word, Lord. Thank you for the way that you and Scripture challenge us to love, to care for, to sacrifice for one another. And I pray that as we continue to hear these sermons this semester of how do we approach the other and how do we treat one another, Lord, that you would continue to inform our hearts, most importantly, and our minds as we choose to love, to sacrifice, to put others before ourselves. Lord, thank you for Kendall, for his wife Rachel. I pray that you bless them, his ministry, and his work here. It's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.